Tonight I want to do two things. Thank you, Adam, for reminding us of that. Never leave us alone. Tonight I want to do two things. I want to sound a warning, and then I want to give you a remedy. I want to make two statements and give you examples of those two statements. And then I want to give you some things to keep doing to keep Satan from getting you. I mentioned this morning, I was talking to my father-in-law on the way home Wednesday night and sharing with him some of the blessings, the way that God has blessed our church. And by the way, he and my mom-in-law signed up to be prayer warriors with us. They're going to pray in the morning as they take their walks. He said, well, just need to get ready because whenever the Lord blesses like that, Satan will come after church. He's not concerned about the church down the street where they're fussing and fighting and nobody's getting saved and nobody's getting baptized. He's not concerned about those churches. He'll leave those alone. The churches that he'll come after are those churches that are seeing the victories of God and seeing the blessings of God. And so, again, I just want to make two statements and give you some examples of those two statements and then just talk to you a little bit as your pastor about what we need to keep doing to keep God's blessings coming. Here's statement number one. Those in the most danger of falling are those that have climbed the highest. And when I talk about falling, I'm talking about falling from God's service and getting to that point where I'm sure Brother Leonard talked about it in Sunday school this morning where Elijah got when he was out there in the wilderness saying, Lord, you might as well take me home. I can't be of any more service to you. I'm all alone. And as I mentioned this morning, discouragement is one of the tools that Satan will use most often if we're not careful to get us. But those that have the greatest danger of falling are those that have climbed the highest. Let me give you some examples of that. Think with me where the first sin was committed. You might think the Garden of Eden. I'm going to talk about the Garden of Eden in just a minute. But I'll remind you, I think the first sin was committed in heaven. It was committed by one of the angels. Not just any angel, but one of the three archangels. And not just any of the three, but I think the top one of the three, God's sort of right-hand angel, the head of the angelic band, the angel that was closest to God. And I want you to know that there wasn't any bad TV shows in heaven to draw them away. There wasn't the wrong crowd in heaven. Lucifer got to that point, said, I want to be like God. I want to rise up and I want to set where God sets and I want to be able to do what God does. And he fell from that lofty position of being one of the closest angels to God. Now, same thing's true of man. Where's the first sin that man committed? It was in the Garden of Eden. It was that couple that God had created and put in the Garden of Eden that he had chosen to be the father and mother of the human race. They had a special and unique relationship with God that nobody else really has enjoyed. They fellowshipped with him in a way that I know we fellowship with him, but they got to walk in the garden with God. They got to visit with him every day. And yet when temptation came, those that were closest to God fell the greatest way. People in danger of falling are those that have climbed the highest. Consider Noah. When did he fall? When did he make his wine? When was it that he got drunk? When was it that he lay naked and one of his sons saw him? It wasn't during the 500 years that he was building the ark. It wasn't during the 500 years that he was sawing and hammering and building that boat. It was after God brought him through the flood. It was after God did something that proved to Noah and his family that he was God. It was after he saved them, the eight people, and nobody else from that flood. It was then that Noah fell into sin. People in the danger of falling the most are those that have climbed the highest. Go back to the Sunday school lesson this morning and think about Elijah. When was it that Elijah went out into the wilderness? When was it that he sat there and he said, God, you might as well kill me. I'm the only one left. There's nobody else that serves you. Everybody else is worshiping Baal. I just can't do anything else for you. I'm done. I'm washed up. I quit. When was it? It was right after he was on Mount Carmel. It was right after he had the contest with the 850 prophets of Baal. It was right after he built that altar and put an animal on it and poured 12 barrels of water over it. And he called down fire from heaven. And God did something that no man could do at the height of his ministry was when Elijah fell. Those that are in the greatest danger of falling of those that have climbed the highest. The same thing is true of churches. And I'm going to use the nation of Israel as an example in the Old Testament of a church. They were God's called out people. When was it that the Israelites started complaining? When was it that they got mad at Moses? When was it that they said, hey, you brought us out into this wilderness to die? We don't have anything to drink but water. We don't have anything to eat but this bread that comes from heaven. When was it that they started the complaining? It was right after they crossed the Red Sea. I mean, it was right after God made that path in the middle of the sea and dried it out. They walked through that sea on dry ground. They saw the waters as a wall on either side of them. They crossed the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army came after them and that water came back together and drowned every one of Pharaoh's army. It was after God had proved to them that he was God, after God had done something that only God could do, that they fell. They wanted to go back to Egypt. The churches in the most danger of falling are those that have climbed the highest. Let me ask you, remember with me, when did Israel suffer its first defeat in the promised land? When was it they went to that little city and the men said, oh, we don't need to send everybody. Let's just send about 3,000 because just a small city. When was it that 36 of their men were killed and they turned tail and ran from the city of Ai? It was right after Jericho. The victory at Jericho was still fresh on their mind. That city that they marched around one time for 6 days and seven times the seventh day and blew the horns and the people shouted and the walls fell down flat and they went in and they conquered that city, the first one in the promised land. That's when they fell. It was after God showed his power in such a way that people had to say it was God. The churches that are in the most danger of falling are those that have climbed the highest. Go to the New Testament church. When was it that the New Testament church started fussing about the care of the widows? When was it that a little bit of division came in that church because some thought their widows were being neglected and others were being taken care of? I'll remind you when it was. It was right after Pentecost. It was right after they had seen 3,000 saved and baptized. I was thinking this morning, boy, if we ever have more than three to baptize, we're going to be in a heap of trouble. I hope we have that trouble soon. I'd like to see what we do if we had 10 to baptize in one day. I'd like to put that on some of these guys to say, okay, what you're going to do, guys? Bill asked me this morning, he said, preacher, I hope you got a building committee because pretty soon we're going to need one. I'd like to have that problem, wouldn't you? But the churches that have the most danger of falling are those that have climbed the highest. 3,000 saved and baptized in one day. People heard the gospel in their own language by unlearned men. Peter, who just a few days before had denied Christ and said, I don't even know him, stood in with boldness and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they got saved. I want to sound a warning tonight. I want to sound a warning to individuals, and I want to sound a warning to our church. God has blessed us as individuals, and God has blessed us as a church the last few days. The last few days. We've climbed to some pretty high places. We have seen answers to prayer. It seems like every a couple hours of every day. And if I had the time tonight, I made myself a list and I got it in the front of my Bible on a piece of paper. Just in the past 2 weeks of all the prayers that God has answered on behalf of people. There have been people that have come to me the last 30 days and said, preacher, I've made it through the Bible and I'm starting again. You have seen the prayer sheet, the prayer warrior sheet. Where not only have we filled up 23 hours of the day, but we have, we've had to go to a second sheet because we got 5 or 6 or 7 people praying at the same hour. There have been people in this church, and I wish I could tell you the names and some of the situations, but I don't have time tonight, and I won't, because they're things that have been the blessings of God. But there have been relationships righted. There have been walls that have served as division between family members tore down. There have been people that have made decisions to do what's right in face of odds that say, no, you shouldn't make that decision, but they've made those decisions anyway. And God has turned and blessed those decisions and taken away the consequences of those decisions. And just over and over and over and over and over again, God has blessed in marvelous ways. He showed us as individuals that He can work the impossible. He can do what we think is impossible, and that He is a God that can work in situations that we think that can't be fixed, that can't be healed. Just the answers to prayer that we've had. If you want to just look back at Al tonight. If you don't think that God has worked miracles in individual lives. Look at Judy Beach tonight if you don't think God has worked miracles in individuals' lives. Look at Donna today. God has blessed in individuals and in individual lives. And I just want to sound a warning tonight. Be careful, because those that have climbed the highest have the greatest danger of falling. Satan wants to get into the individuals' lives who God has blessed and mess it up. And he'll do everything that he can to turn us away from God, to get us to where we feel like Elijah, hey, I can't go on. I don't have the strength to go on. I'm just going to quit. I know that God has blessed, but he'll try to discourage us. Same thing can be said about our church. We've seen blessings the past 2 weeks. Let me just, again, real quickly tonight, share some. We had family day. A couple 3 weeks ago, had more in Sunday school than we ever had. Had our second highest attendance. Had a Bible school, one of our best Bible schools. We've seen 20 people saved in the past 2 weeks. We had 8 people baptized since the last Sunday in June. And you know what the most precious part is about? I got a couple notes from people in our church whose grandchildren and children have been saved. And they said, God has blessed us as a church and blessed my family because I got to see my grandchildren get saved. He's blessed us as a church. I tell you what, our attendance on Wednesday night and on Sunday night, I can remember the attendances that we're having on Sunday night. I remember in recent history, we thought that was good for a Sunday morning. And the attendance we're having on Wednesday night, I can remember when we thought, man, that's a great attendance to have on a Sunday night. And God has blessed over and over and over and over again us as a church. And tonight, I want to sound a warning. God's not concerned about the church down the street that's seeing nobody get saved. Not the devil. God's concerned about that church. The devil's not. Satan's not. He's not concerned about the church that's not preaching the gospel. He's not concerned about the church that calls off their service on Sunday night during the summer. He's not concerned about the church that don't preach the gospel. Satan's not concerned about the church where nobody's walking the aisle and getting saved. He's not concerned about the church where nobody's getting baptized. He's not concerned about the church. I told Adam this morning when we were up on the platform, I said, Adam, look at all the visitors that are here. And I know there was a lot from Al's family. But outside of Al's family, I couldn't count them, but outside of Al's family, we had 18 visitors this morning. We had 20 last week. We had more than that on our family day, and I know that was a big day. But two Sundays in a row, where we had 20 last week and 18 this week, and we've had couples that have just come in. This couple sitting right over here, yeah, they knew Billy Hopper's sister. They said, "We're looking for a church, and we heard about yours, and just wanted to come." We had a lady come in last week after the service was over. And she says, "Do you mind if I have a bulletin? My husband and I are looking for a church, and we visited one this morning that we didn't like. We saw your church and saw people were still here. Could we just have a bulletin to look at it?" I said, "Sure. Sure." Now, that comes as no result of anything that we've done other than be faithful. That comes because of the blessing of God. The blessing of God. And again, my warning is, be careful, because the church that God is blessing is the one that Satan is going to attack. The church that God is blessing with salvations and baptisms and visitors is the church that Satan is going to come after. Because somebody was asking me, I can't remember who it was, I can't remember if it was Wednesday night or Sunday night, they were asking me about what Satan is for. And I answered the question. I said, whatever God is for, Satan is against. So whatever God is against, that's what Satan is for. And Satan is against what's going on in this place, and he'll do everything he can to stop it. In the book of 1 Peter, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Okay, so that's the warning. What's the cure? The cure is this: keep on. Keep on. That's what I entitled my sermon tonight. Keep on. Say, what do you mean by keep on? I'll tell you what I mean by keep on. Glad you asked. Keep on reading your Bible. Some of you have read the Bible through. Read it through again. Some of you have told me, "Hey, I never made it through before, but I made it through this year." Keep reading it. If you finished up the book of Revelation, go back to Genesis and start over. If you don't think you want to go back to the book of Genesis, go back to the book of Psalms. Go back to the book of John. Go back to the book of Romans. Read your Bible every single day. Get a hold of verses like 1 John 4:4. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Get a hold of verses like Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Get a hold of verses like Romans 8:37. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And when Satan comes, as he will, to try to discourage you and get you off the track, you hold up this book, you quote one of those verses, you say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You're not going to get me. I'm going to keep on reading my Bible." Number two, keep on praying. I can't tell you. I can't tell you the joy that's in my heart for all the people that signed up to pray. I can't tell you what I think God is going to do for our church as we lift it up in prayer. I know there have been people that have prayed. I know that there have been people that have prayed every day for our church. But I can't help but believe, because we're calling on God 23 hours out of the 24 during the day. And I don't know who, but God's going to wake somebody up at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. Who told me they woke up at 3 o'clock? Lois told me she woke up at 3 o'clock and prayed. Laura told me she woke up at 3 o'clock and prayed. I woke up one morning at 3 o'clock and I prayed. I'll just tell you what's going to happen. I think God, nobody's going to sign up for it, but I think God is going to go around the room and he's going to start waking people up at 3 o'clock, and you're going to remember, "Hey, nobody at church signed up for 3 o'clock. I'm up anyway. I might as well pray. I might as well pray. I'm preaching. You signed up for 3 o'clock. All right, so we got somebody signed up for 3 o'clock. But it doesn't matter. He may wake somebody else up at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock. And just when you wake up, you pray and ask God to bless us as a church. And as the prayers, that little song we sing on Sunday morning sometimes about the wise man and the foolish man, and it talks about the blessings will come down as the prayers go up. And that's the way God will work. As we petition heaven, as we keep on praying, we can keep Satan away. Amen. Keep on reading your Bible. Keep on praying. Number three, keep on coming to church. Keep on coming to church. You know what hurt Donna the most today? I could hear it in her voice and see it in her eyes. And she was hurting. She said, I miss church. I miss church. And I think if you could get into her head, if you could get into her heart, that's what hurt the most. She missed church. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I've heard people saying, you have to walk and worship God anywhere. I can go to the woods. I can go to the beach. I can go and worship God anywhere, and I know you can. I know as you get out in nature that you can see the handiwork of God. You stand out at night and see the moon and the stars. You see a sunset or a sunrise. You see a pretty flower. You see a little bird. I know you can worship God wherever you are. I know as He sends us out to nature and we see things that remind us of His love. And that's what I told Donna. Terry can tell you. I said, Donna, God proved again this morning that He loved us. Because He took care of you. He took care of you. And I know when we get out and we see how God has all these things that He's put in this world that says, I love you, that we can stand in those places and see those beautiful things, and we can direct our love toward God. We can worship Him. But I tell you what, a little bitty bird will not exhort you. A rose and a beautiful bouquet will not tell you that you can keep on keeping on. A beautiful sunset or a beautiful sunrise will not encourage you not to quit. You get that when you come here. That's what that verse means, that we provoke unto love and good works. We stir one another up to keep on keeping on, and we exhort one another and encourage one another not to quit. Yes, we can worship God, but you don't get that kind of stuff in nature, and we get it from each other. One of the blessed things about testimonies is to hear God, how God has brought people through the trial, and be reminded not only in their testimonies but in the songs that we sing and that are sung for specials. We are not alone. We have a God that will never leave us or forsake us. The Holy Spirit lives in us and dwells in our body. And the times we feel alone are the times we're not listening to the Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of us. We're never alone. So keep on reading your Bible. Keep on praying. Keep on coming to church. Keep on inviting others to come. I think the reason that God has blessed us with so many visitors is because we've invited people and they haven't come. And so God says, well, they've been faithful in inviting others. I'm going to send somebody else. Brother Leonard told me this morning, he said, preacher, I got a phone call. It was from another hillbilly. And I said to him, how'd you know it was from another hillbilly? And I said, don't tell me, I can figure it out. They came this morning because He invited them. You may have invited somebody that didn't come. Well, maybe that couple that sat right over here that nobody invited came because God saw your faithfulness in inviting somebody and they didn't come, so they sent them. That's the way God works. That's the way He works. The greatest way that we can fend off Satan, and I'll just number five, is this, is keep on telling people about Jesus and invite them to church. That's the greatest way. That promise that God will never leave us or forsake us is at the end of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you. And then what does it say? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So keep on reading your Bible. Keep on praying. Keep on coming to church. Keep on inviting others. Number five, keep on being a friend. A friend. You know, as I listened to the testimonies on Wednesday night and on Sunday night, and I hear people talk about our church and our church family, here's what I hear, one of the things I hear. I'm so glad God brought me to this church, because in this church, I found a group of friends. of friends. I'll say, preacher, I have friends outside the church. I know you do. But I'll just remind you tonight, you don't have friends outside the church like you have friends inside the church. A friend loveth at all times. And one of the greatest joys that I have as your pastor is to see how you love one another. I see it when we have dinners after funerals. I see it as we celebrate graduations and births of little children together. I see it when a need for prayer comes up and people pray for one another like it was their mom or their dad or their brother or their sister, because it's their friend. I watch how you care for one another. And sometimes when you're shaking hands and going, I just sort of like to get over to the side and say, look at that. They're hugging, holding hands. It's just like being in a family reunion that you're going to and you haven't seen each other for a long, long time. And you just want to tell each other that you love each other. Keep on being a friend. You see, if we keep on reading our Bible, if we keep on praying, if we keep on coming to church, if we keep on inviting others to come, and if we keep on being a friend, Satan's going to have a tough time to get us. Not to say he won't attack, he will attack. Because I guarantee you he does not like what's going on in this place the past few weeks. Doesn't like it one bit. But greater is he that is in you and in me than he that is in the world. You're here tonight. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. I want to tell you something. You're in a place where it's easy to get saved. You're in a place that believes what the Bible says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're here tonight and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior. I can't think of a better time to do it than right now. Right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your blessings.